You know, Jesus tarries. Every single one of us today here is facing the grave. Some people are afraid of dying, so afraid that they will do almost anything and go an extraordinary length to try to avoid the grave. There's a process, maybe you've heard about it, called cryonics, in which you can have your body submerged in liquid nitrogen, frozen at minus 120 degrees after you die. The introduction of the cryonics webpage says something like this: as soon as possible after legal death, a member patient is prepared and cooled to a temperature where physical decay essentially stops and is then maintained indefinitely in cryostasis. When and if your future medical technology allows, our member patient will be healed and revived and awakened to extended life in a youthful, good health. Wow, what a promise. Of course, it doesn't come cheap. Now, if you're thinking about doing this, I've got some numbers that you can call. Toll-free numbers, by the way. The Alcor Life Extension Foundation in Scottsdale, Arizona. By the way, that's the place where baseball star Ted Williams is. His body's cooling right now. They'll charge you a minimum of $120,000 to be frozen. Now, if that's too much, I also read that for $90,000, you can choose neurosuspension, in which your head is severed from your body and frozen, in hopes that future medical science will connect your head to a newer, younger body. Got the toll number for that, too, if you'd like to call it. Actually, this morning, I have a much better idea. If you just could submerge your life in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about after death. Because honestly, He, Jesus Christ, is the end of all of your grave problems. Amen. In Luke chapter 23, verse 50 and on, that Brother Frank read, we read about what happened to Jesus after He died. As we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to consider this morning two things. I want to consider, first of all, the miracle of the resurrection, and then the meaning of the resurrection. Let's first of all talk about the miracle of the resurrection. Perhaps no event in history has been more debated than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the centuries, men have tried to explain away the resurrection and to remove the heart of the Christian faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ did not arise, we have no heart in the Christian faith. But if He did indeed arise, then we have heart and we have life, and we know someday we also shall live again. And by the way, Jesus did rise from the dead. However, there are a couple of theories, and let's talk about those just real quickly. Two theories most often mentioned to deny the resurrection are the kidnap theory and the swoon theory. The kidnap theory proposes that the body of Christ was stolen and hidden by His disciples. And then the disciples all of a sudden brought Him back as if He was alive. Now, if you believe that, that's a bad thing, because there's some glaring weaknesses of that theory, as if the followers of Jesus Christ were deceptive enough to steal the body and concoct a resurrection. They must have had something behind their idea of what they were going to do. However, ladies and gentlemen, all of the original disciples except John, all the original disciples, only John is believed to have died a natural death. All the others were tortured and executed. All of the disciples went to their death however confident, affirming the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they had not stolen the body, and no, they had not taken it someplace else. No, none of that's true. Jesus Christ was crucified, He died, and was buried, and after the third day, He arose to be with His Father in heaven. The swoon theory. The next theory is called the swoon theory. Suggests that Jesus never really died. He just swooned on the cross. But when He was placed in the tomb, the coolness of the rock-hewn tomb revived Him. He escaped by removing the 2-ton stone that was rolled over the entrance of the tomb. And then He was able somehow to defeat all of that Roman guard that was there. Sadly enough, some theologians and even some pastors who claim to be Christians deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, one day Jesus Christ did arise. Up from the grave He arose like a mighty triumph over His foes. Jesus Christ is alive, and the resurrection is the truth. Amen. The central truth of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Note, three indisputable sources of evidence. Number one, the miracle was communicated by the angels. The miracle of the resurrection was communicated by the angels. Women were the last at the cross, and they were the first at the tomb. Some religions denigrate women to a place of dishonor. A popular prayer actually prayed of Jewish men during the time of Jesus was this: I thank you, God, that I was not born a dog or a woman. They degraded women so bad. Islam even teaches today the absolute subservience of women, equating them with pets. But the Christian faith was launched by men and women together. And in every case, and in Jesus Christ, there is, by the way, go with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is no male, nor female, nor Jew, nor Greek, nor slave or free, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, we are all one in Jesus Christ. Look at the scripture. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. When the women arrived at the tomb on that first Easter morning, they were met there by angels. These angels were God's messengers coming to announce to the disciples that Jesus Christ was indeed alive. They asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, for He's risen." Just as God sent a band of angels to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds that day in the fields around Bethlehem, He sent angels to announce the resurrection to these faithful women. Number two, the miracle was confirmed by His absence. Many scholars believe that the site, Golgotha, was where He was crucified, and close by was the tomb. My wife and I were able to go there in 1973, and we got to see the place of the skull, and we got to see the tomb, and we got to walk inside the tomb. It was an amazing thing. And you did get to feel some kind of feeling when you walked in that tomb and walked back out. But the tomb was empty. When scientists took microscopic samples from the soil and the rocks, they found there was no trace of any human remains, for Christ had already risen. He's not there. The Old Testament predicted earlier that the Messiah would make His grave with the rich. Isaiah 53, verse 9, as a member of the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea could have afforded such a tomb as this tomb. In Bible times, the tomb was sealed with a large stone, round stone that was rolled in front. We got to see that as well at that Holy Land tour. It could be rolled downhill into the groove, and a seal was set up on it. This planet, as you know, is littered with graves all over, tombs of millions of people. Some are famous tombs, but most are just obscure. The pyramids. My wife and I took a trip there, and we got to go into the pyramids. The pyramids in Egypt are really just tombs. The Taj Mahal in India is a mausoleum. The Ming Dynasty emperors are buried in massive tombs, with each complex covering over 100 acres. Millions of Muslims visit the tomb of Muhammad in Medina each year. But there, ladies and gentlemen, is no tomb for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no burial shrine for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no place that man can go and say, here is where the body lays. Because one day, up from the grave, He arose like a mighty triumph o'er His foe. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is alive. He is not dead. He is not in some tomb. He is not enshrined in some box. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in the great glory world. Christ has arisen. Today we don't visit some holy site and say, wow, there's a body. Because no one has ever produced a body. Well, the greatest proof of the resurrection is the fact that nobody has ever produced a corpse for Jesus. The Romans couldn't be convicted of murder in America today. Because there's no corpse. Even if you're a skeptic, you've got to answer the question. Even this morning, if you're a skeptic, you've got to answer the question, where indeed is the body of Jesus? Oh, from the grave He arose like a mighty triumph o'er His foe. That's where He's at. He's in the glory world. He's not here. He arose, the miracle, the resurrection. The miracle was certified by His appearances. I want you to get your Bible ready. I want you to see something. The absence of a body is not compelling argument, not enough. But when you combine that with the fact that a living, breathing Jesus appeared on several occasions to His disciples, you either have to say the account is fictional or Jesus really did come back from the dead. The first Sunday evening, Jesus suddenly appeared to His disciples who were behind closed doors, and He invited the disciples to feel His hands and His feet. He even invited Thomas, as you know, to put his hand into the wound in His side. Can you imagine the wonder and the awe as the same folks who witnessed the savage crucifixion of Jesus now see Him alive? No wonder Thomas fell to his knees. And what did Thomas say when he fell to his knees, when he saw the risen Savior? My Lord and my God! He recognized who He was immediately. But Jesus didn't just make one or two appearances. The Bible says during the 40 days between His resurrection and His ascension back to heaven, He made numerous appearances. In fact, the Messiah died for our sins. In fact, go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. I want you to see this. In fact, I want us all to get our Bibles out. I know it will be on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible, that's perfectly fine. But I want you to see in 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Follow me down to verse number 3. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas. Are you listening? Then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one of born out of due time. Now, if it was a hoax perpetrated by two or three people who claimed to have seen Jesus, they might have pulled that off. But it's beyond the realm of logical possibilities that 500 people plus could have been a part of a hoax like this. Of those 500, all of them suffered persecution and many of them died horrible deaths. Chuck Colson was a former advisor for President Nixon during the Watergate scandal. He tells how difficult it is to keep a cover-up going. He said this, all of Nixon's top advisors got together one day and agreed to the same lie. He confessed this. They concocted a story, agreed on the same dates, the same facts, the same time to protect President Nixon. Yet Colson said as soon as the media's scrutiny began, every one of them folded like a cheap suit, trying to protect themselves. Chuck Colson said, if six Harvard and Yale educated men could not stand a media scrutiny to protect the most powerful man on earth, how likely is it that 11 uneducated fishermen could have done it? Brother, it's not a hoax. Jesus rose from the dead. And if there be no resurrection, we have no hope. But you don't have to even worry about that, because there was a resurrection. He has risen, just like He said. Roman numeral number 2, the meaning of the resurrection. Let's get to that. Maybe you accept the historical fact. Maybe today you accept the historical fact of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, but you don't really understand what it means, what it really means to us. In other words, there is the fact of the resurrection, but what about the impact of the resurrection of Jesus? Now here are three things it means to all of us. Number one, write this one down. I know that Jesus is more than just a man. His resurrection means to me, I know that Jesus is more than just a man. Some people say if there had been no resurrection, Jesus would be remembered today only as a simple, great teacher. I disagree. I disagree with that thought. And the reason is, had there been no resurrection, we would never have heard of Jesus. That's the truth. If there had been no resurrection, we would never have heard of Jesus. His influence would have been buried with Him in the tomb. History is full of obscure characters that gathered a small group of followers and are forgotten today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 through 18. If there is no resurrection, I'm telling you, according to this Bible, according to 1 Corinthians, one more time, we are a bunch of foolish people. If there is no resurrection, we're a bunch of foolish people. Preaching something, saying something, Brother Barry, that's not even true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Many of you are familiar with a cartoonist, perhaps Johnny Hart. Johnny Hart created the comic strip BC. How many of you know the comic strip BC? You know what I'm talking about. And he also corroborates on the Wizard of Id, ID. Mr. Hart's 70 years old. A few years ago, he was converted to Christ. Did you know that? And since that time, he's often used his comic strip to share the truth about Jesus. One of his cartoons shows a couple of ants standing in front of an empty cross. And there's a note nailed to the cross. And one of the ants said, I'm going to climb up to the top and see what the note says. So the little ant climbs to the top. And when he returns, the other ant says, well, what did it say? What did the note say? The last panel, you see the empty tomb, and the ant replies, it says to be continued. Without the empty tomb, the cross loses its meaning. By the way, dozens of newspapers, did you know this, including the Los Angeles Times, have canceled and dropped the BC cartoon because of its Christian message. Isn't that sad? Johnny Hart says Jesus is the only way to heaven. And some people have a hard time accepting that. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Johnny Hart's right. He is the only way. Johnny Hart isn't the only one who believes that. Thousands of others do too. Years ago, when Nikita Khrushchev died in Russia, they were looking for a place to bury him. By this time, he wasn't really that popular in Russia. So they're trying to find a place to bury Nikita Khrushchev. They even made a request of Golda Meir, the first prime minister of Israel. Her reply was priceless. I don't know if you ever heard that reply or not. She said, yes, you may bury Mr. Khrushchev in Israel. Yes, you may. But I must warn you that Israel has the highest resurrection rate of any nation on earth. Number one, I said, the meaning of the resurrection, I know that Jesus is more than just a man. How about this next one? I know I can be forgiven. I know I can be forgiven. Two biggest problems of all people on the earth are sin and death. Regardless of your culture, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of your nationality, regardless of your race, education, or even your financial standing, regardless of all those things, these two problems call out and will address you. Sin and death. By the way, everyone on this planet has done or said something wrong. That's sin. Everybody in this room has done something wrong. And everybody here has been a sinner. We all are sinners. We all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not a single one of us. We've all sinned. And secondly, we're all going to face death. We all are going to die. Because the Bible says the point of the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. The problem of death is related to sin because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, obtaining forgiveness for your sins deals with the death problem as well. The Bible calls that salvation, or being saved. Well, the clearest verses of salvation is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know I can be forgiven. What doesn't the Bible say? Believe in your heart that Jesus was born a virgin. Or believe that Jesus walked on water. Or believe that Jesus healed a man. Why? Because it is the resurrection that makes Jesus totally unique among all the people who have ever walked on planet earth. The only way you can get your sins forgiven and the only way you can get to heaven is to have your sins forgiven by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And the only way I can have my sins forgiven is by believing that Jesus did come. He did die. He was buried. And He rose from the grave. The only way I can really have my sins forgiven is to say, dear God, please forgive me of my sin of rejecting you all these years. I now want to accept you as my personal Savior. And Jesus said, if you ask Him, He will come in. And He will forgive you of all of your sins. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Not long ago in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Graham, getting older and older, and he wanted to honor Billy Graham. He commented that day that he had bought a new suit for the occasion. He surprised the audience that day by announcing his new suit would be one he was going to be wearing when they buried him. Then he told a funny story about Albert Einstein traveling from Princeton on a train. He said the conductor came to punch his ticket that day and the absent-minded Einstein couldn't find his ticket. He got in his coat pocket, got in his vest pocket, pants pocket, no ticket. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, that's okay. We know who you are. No problem. I'm sure you bought a ticket, so don't worry. Einstein nodded and said, thank you. The conductor went about his business. A few minutes later, the conductor walked back and saw the great scientist on his hands and knees looking under his seat, looking for his ticket. The conductor said, Dr. Einstein, you got to do that. That's fine. We know who you are, and we know you no doubt got a ticket. So don't worry about your ticket. We know who you are. It's okay. Young man, Dr. Einstein said, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Then Billy Graham said this, when you see me in the casket wearing this suit, remember that I not only know who I am, I know where I'm going. Because your sins can be forgiven, you can know where you're going. How many in this room this morning? How many, I wonder, without raised hands, but how many of you know from this section, that corner, all the way across over here, all these wonderful folks sitting in here, how many of you know where you're going this morning? The resurrection is a wonderful truth. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. Do we know where we're going? You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I believe it all. You better believe it all. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, I'm just about finished with my message, but if you're here this morning, you're not saved. Oh, how you need to be saved. You might say, well, preacher, I don't know too much about this thing called salvation. We can teach you from the Word of God this morning exactly what it means. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you left this building this morning knowing 100% for sure that you were saved and on your way to heaven? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that everybody in this building would know, everybody listening to my radio would know, listen, preacher, I took care of it this morning. I knelt and prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sin. I know I'm saved. I believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. The miracle of the resurrection. The meaning. I know that Jesus is more than just a man. Number two, I know that I can be forgiven. And number three, I know that the grave isn't the end. I know the grave isn't the end. Have you read the latest stats on death? Get ready for the big one here. One out of one people dies. Amen. Do you know that everybody in this building is going to die? We're all going to die. And then we're all going to face God at judgment. Again, the scripture said it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Are you ready to meet Him? Every Christian who's saved, born again, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But every one of us who are not saved, who are not born again, will stand at the great white throne judgment. And after this life is over, there's no other chances. Don't think that. That's not so. That's nowhere in that scripture. It's today. Isn't it true, though, we don't like to talk about death? Have you ever noticed the words we use when we talk about death? Mr. So-and-so has passed. Mr. So-and-so is no longer with us. We have a hard time saying he died. Death is inevitable. But the bigger question is this: what happens to a person after they die? Now think about this. Many people insist that this life is all there is. When this life is over, you're done. It's finished. Not so. The grave is the end. Not so. The resurrection of Jesus Christ lets us know for certain the grave isn't the end. A few years ago, a letter went out from the Greenville County, South Carolina, Department of Social Services. This actually was a letter sent. Who did they send the letter to? The letter was addressed to over 50 former residents who had recently died. Serious. And the letter said, to whom it may concern, your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately, because we have received notice that you have passed. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. That was an actual letter written. Americans don't like to talk about death much. We use words like "he passed on." Obviously, that letter was a mistake. And some irate family members informed the government of their displeasure. But they were mistaken in their acknowledgement that death isn't the end. Death isn't the end. Go to John chapter 5, please, in your Bible. John chapter 5. Leave your word, if you will, at verse 28 and 29. Before Jesus Christ was resurrected, he taught that each of us would also be resurrected. I want you to listen to what it says in verse 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Does everybody see the verse of Scripture? Everybody's going to rise someday. And you're not kidding God. And God, you may have fooled tons of people with your life and your lifestyle, but you will never fool God. And everybody's going to rise, some to life, but some to eternal damnation. We don't rejoice in that. My heart's sad about that. I'd like to have everybody in this building to know Christ as personal Savior. And if you're not, today you can take care of that and say, "Lord, would you please help me to know you as my personal Savior?" Many people just don't believe that there is life after death. But Jesus said in John chapter 11, go to John chapter 11, please. Listen to the words of Jesus in verse number 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Isn't that a powerful sentence of Scripture? Just because you may not believe in God or an afterlife will not change the fact that there is something beyond the grave. It's interesting that Jesus compared the spiritual life to being reborn. Born again. Have you, sir, ma'am, teenager, mom and dad, have you been born again? Do you believe in life after death? So many people are going to be surprised that day. Musicians, if you'll come, please, and join us. Do you believe in life after death? Are you ready? Are you prepared? The end of all of your grave problems is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.